As Tim Spector outlined in his recent book, Spoon-Fed, evidence suggests that exercise, while beneficial, especially for mental health, does not reliably cause weight loss. But obesity policies that propose more sport, rather than changes to diet, have always been popular in government because they pose no threat to the junk food industry. We shouldn't be talking about obesity policy, let alone an obesity crisis, at all, but about food quality laws or junk food control. After all, the government does not produce tobacco strategies with titles such as Childhood Smokers, A Plan for Action, or Tackling Smokers' Lungs. Chris von Tulleken, an infectious diseases doctor at University College London Hospital, told me that, as with tobacco, the focus should be on regulating the marketing, not blaming the consumer. He argues that ultra-processed foods should come with a warning label, and that these products should not be marketed to children. But there is still a reluctance within the UK government even to identify ultra-processed food as a problem. As Georgie Screenis, an Australian professor of food policy, has shown, the big food companies have successfully lobbied governments around the world to ensure that official nutrition advice stays focused on individual nutrients in packaged foods, rather than on ultra-processed food in general. What would it take for England to have a food policy fit for the task? One obvious solution would be to create a designated Minister of Food to coordinate food policy, as there was during the war and up until 1955, when the Ministry of Food became subsumed by agriculture and fisheries. Another solution would be to say that food is so relevant to every aspect of life that there should be food in every policy. This is the approach favoured by the NFS report, which ruled out the idea of a single food minister, noting that food is not unique in being split across multiple departments. Since the Second World War, Dimbleby argued, the purpose of the food system in England has been to maximise the production of cheap food, regardless of quality. This urgently needs to change, but to pivot to a new system that produces nourishing, sustainable food would require radical adjustments all the way through the food chain. There is a need, as Dimbleby notes, for every cog in the wheel of the food system to be designed to make us well instead of sick, to be resilient, and to help halt climate change. But where will this shared sense of purpose come from? Having interviewed 23 of the most senior civil servants and politicians in Westminster, Kelly Parsons told me that she realised that at the highest levels of government in England, food was endlessly pushed down the agenda. It simply wasn't seen as important.